Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, my fan friends, my fine fan friends. Welcome to the final, possibly ever, rehearsed but recorded in front of an audience in a theatre. Will we ever get back to those heady days? Or will we just have to look back and listen back to this one and remember what our lives used to be like for all time? This one with Aisling B doing fantastically well. Second time she's been on the show, but in that interim, she's become a global superstar. Lovely, lovely person as well. I'm sure you're going to enjoy this one very much. Look, we're doing stuff on twitch.tv/RK Herring pretty much every single day. Stone clearing in the mornings, if you want to see how that stone clearing works and see if I get caught by this Fatone Fatafi, the Stone Stasi, if you don't speak medieval English. I'm doing self-playing snooker as seen on the BBC most evenings at 7:30 p.m. I'm doing a Rahulastapa every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. You can tune in for free. It's all free. You can, excuse me, see me commentating and on... Excuse me, I'm burping. How very unprofessional. You can see me commentating, doing director's commentaries, even though I'm not the director of movies, on Sunday evenings. And I'm playing games like Civ 2, Football Manager, the original, all sorts of things going on there. You can give me money for that if you want, but it is all free. You can subscribe and pay money. But if you're an Amazon Prime customer already, you've got £5 every month to give them to me. If you go to my YouTube channel, Herring1967, there's a video on there explaining just how you link the accounts and then subscribe. It's quite simple, but you have to do it on a browser, not on the app as well. So, to make it work, and we can take Ian Amazon's money and we can build a wall and make him pay for it. We're literally doing that. So it would be good if you were able to spend a little time doing that. But feel free to become a badger or subscribe with money if you really want to. Or go to gofasterstripe.com, buy some trumps or some emergency questions books, and that money gets channeled back into making more podcasts as well. So thank you for keeping us going during this difficult time, and we will be back and bigger than ever, but it's lovely to be able to continue broadcasting to you. And the Rahalastapas remotely recorded are working out pretty well. I think you'll get to see from next week when they all come out on this podcast feed. Adam Buxton next week. But let's not talk about next week. Let's talk about this week, where I am interviewing in front of an audience. Ah, the laughter, the smells, the burgeoning of the coronavirus in one or two of them that would spread and kill the rest of us. I think we're okay. I think I got away with it from that source, at least. It's Rahalastapa with Aisling B. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who has Michael Palin's address and is going to go there to spend Christmas with him because he said he was said it was okay to be said he'd be his dad. It's Richard Herring. Oh yeah, I'm letting my hair down this week. Completely different clothes to last week. Hello! Welcome. You're wonderful. You're much better than last week's audience. Mind you, they were giving standing ovations, actually. You're not as good. Welcome to Richard Herring's Latter-day Saints Temple podcast. It's setting up a new religion. It's quite like the Mormons, but I'm not interested in Jesus Christ like they are. Just, it's quite a specific joke about the Mormons. They are just the Latter-day... Just the Latter-day Saints. I realised that Latter-day Saints fitted the LS bit. Latter-day Saints. I only like the Latter-day. I don't like the early-day Saints. They're rubbish. I like the Latter-day. The ones who came along later. Like Mother Teresa. Nope. Okay. Though I was shaking my magic eight ball yesterday and I asked it what it called it and it said Rahalastapa. So I don't know if that might catch on. We were all still, the tension from last week's podcast is still in the air, even though it was a week ago. What an exciting time. I love Michael Palin, was lovely, wasn't he? You'd like him to be your dad, wouldn't you? He could be all of our dads. That'd be wonderful. I really hope he doesn't, there's a man sneezing in the front row. If he gets the coronavirus and dies, A, he'll be dead already when this goes out, and this will look very poor taste. Let's do a funny story. So, my daughter is at school now. She's 5 years old, and she's a lovely, cheeky, forthright young lady, and I think maybe interested in making people laugh as well. I went in, and so nearly always when I go to pick her up, the teacher says, she's had an accident in the playground, she fell over, she's always running around, she's quite boisterous and getting stuck into stuff. She'd got like a rope burn across her face this day, so I thought this was, and the teacher said, I need to talk to you, so I thought it was that, she'd run into a rope of some kind. But then the teacher said, oh yeah, it's not about that. I just have to tell you, it's a bit awkward, but we were reading our Jeffrey the Giraffe story to the kids. We've been reading about him all week, and it's the culmination. And we just asked all the kids to say one thing about Jeffrey the Giraffe. We got to Phoebe, and Phoebe said, Jeffrey the Giraffe is a wanker. And she said, and we laughed because we thought she couldn't have said that. And then we asked again, and she did say that. And that's because I don't say, oh no, it's really, they're not telling her off, are they? They're telling me off. And we don't say that word. We say fuck all the time. She said fucking hell to me as we went to bed. So thank God she didn't say that. But it's embarrassing as a parent, your kid's dobbing you in like that. So I don't think she knows what it means. Oh God, I hope not. So anyway, so that's what I think we might be seeing her on stage in 15 to 20 years' time. That is what I'm saying. Let's crack on. Our guest this week, she's probably best known for her part as Elf in Inmates. I think that says, can't read my own rating. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Aisling B. Hello, Aisling. Hello.
Hello. He was just sat right here a week ago.
A week ago.
The remnant stays strong.
We were discussing how sexy Michael Palin still is. He's a very virile, sexy, young-looking man.
Virile. Yeah.
Does virile
mean like he can still make children?
Yeah, I think he's probably... Okay. I reckon his sperm's still sacred.
Well, I took a couple of it, so we'll know in about 30 days.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Lovely man.
Yeah. Oh, God, I have to sit up straight because last time I did this podcast, it was about 4 years ago, three years ago. And I'll be honest, I'd had one of those winter breakups. I knew I was coming to do a podcast, and no offence to the audience, but it felt like it was just going to be us, this, and a microphone. Yeah. And you'd never told me you film every fucking podcast. Excuse my language there, but I mean it.
It's okay.
And I kind of turned up in my sad woman's outfit. I didn't take off my cardigan. I think I had snow boots on. There were a free bag of Maltesers or something out the
Minstrels
back.
Minstrels, there were.
There were. Yeah. Oh, we can still say that. Great. Yeah.
let's get back into that.
I'm not okay with it. And brought out the bag and just sort of sat here the whole time. And I was like, oh, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then whenever it came out on Twitter, someone was like, oh, I just saw the video of you doing the podcast. And I was like, oh, what's the point of doing a video of a podcast? Like, maybe they show stock images of flowers or something in the background as we talk. And then I clicked on it. And bear in mind, like, I've never really watched anything back. I do. And I don't care what I look like when I'm doing comedy. Yeah. But, like, later outside, as just a human lady in the world, you sort of do. And someone had written something underneath it, like, she looks like a woman who's given up, or there was something like that. And he was right. Like, that wasn't a mean trolling comment. That was just a fair... I was just like this, sat the whole time. I was like, well, Richard, the way I think about it... So I'm just really concerned about my image and my brand now. So just sort of...
Well, you're looking wonderful. You're looking wonderful.
Thank you, Richard. Where are the cameras, by the way?
They're there. The red lights. I know you haven't done much TV work, but there's...
Thank you.
You've done more TV work in the last 2 months than I've done in my entire life. So it's...
Oh.
Yes.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah, because you're doing... last time, you were obviously...
You feel like I feel like I'm being attacked.
No, no,
by
I'm not.
Last time,
I was already saying how amazingly well you're doing, but since you were on, and I believe due to being on this podcast...
This was my big break.
You had just a phenomenal run of stuff happening.
I think there was a GoFundMe once they saw how sad I looked on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
That they were like, that girl needs a break. It's been a good year and a half, I have to say.
I mean, aside from Romesh Ranganathan, who I think there must be five or six of him to make it work.
Because he does
so many jobs. He's writing sitcoms and being in sitcoms and being in... There must be more than one of him, is what I'm saying.
He's
been cloned. But I can't think of anyone else who's done... Because you're writing sitcoms, you're appearing in sitcoms, you've done lots of panel shows. I mean, and you've been the captain on a panel show for a lot of that time.
And you've
been on... You've worked with Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
You've kissed Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I have. Just stuck my tongue in there as well. What's your secret to your youth? Will I get it out? It's an uncomfortable situation to sort of have because I'm a triple threat in terms of shame and not liking compliments, and that I'm an Irish Catholic woman. So I'm like, it's hard to refute things. But yeah, no, it has been a good, but it's not everything, lads. Success and everything, but it bloody is in some circles. money isn't everything, guys. As I told my driver of my Porsche, I said to him, Enrico, it's been good.
I
don't know how to react. It's amazing, it's not, I kind of expected it.
I wouldn't have had you on if I didn't think you were going to be huge, but you were. It's good for later on when you become famous, then the podcast gets hits.
Yeah.
So it's
I was here, he didn't get me to sign his book, and that was 4 years ago. And this time he's like, actually, when you saw my book, and I'm like, oh, the last time you didn't think I was going to come back.
I haven't got them anymore because they get given away to people. So whoever's got that one, check and see if Ashlyn signed it. I think it was the same day it's the same audience that Ian Boldsworth, when he was Ray Peacock, had those two crazy women who shouted at him in the audience. I think it was the same day.
There were some shouty ladies.
It was a Sunday afternoon. It was a bad audience. I'm going to tell you, you're much better than that audience. I listened to the whole podcast today. It's really funny, and the audience is just going... Maybe it's just your body language. I think they were just worried about me.
Maybe. I genuinely think people were worried about me. I was really like, oh, God. I was putting out those vibes, like just watching a woman in a cardigan eat minstrels in a couch going, we've paid for this. We've paid money for this. But in terms of how one deals with the stress of work, though, it's coming out through my teeth.
Right.
I just, in case at any point my eyeballs start flailing, I'm on quite a lot of painkillers because I had a big tooth taken out today, a back molar.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, show a lot of sympathy, why don't you? I had a tooth taken out today. Oh, no, please, I'm a strong woman. I don't need your pity. But yeah, I've been basically, guys, grinding too hard.
No.
You're welcome. all right, later show. Wouldn't have got that out of Palin. I've been grinding too hard, says the doctor, and managed to grind the tooth away.
Well, in your sleep.
Cracked it. In my sleep.
I do that.
Yeah.
My bad tooth is from where I grind my teeth in my sleep.
And have you had to wear a mouth guard?
No.
Oh, because they put a mouth guard on me now, and I swear to God, looking at myself in the mirror before, I'm going to see it in my mouth guard. I'm like, this is a bad bit. Yeah, it's not a sexy.
I always kind of wondered about that, because if you are like dating or, you know.
Yeah.
And then you've got to do something like that as part of your bedtime routine, at what point do you put it in before you make love with someone and then fall asleep? Or do you wait for them to fall asleep? And
will you put some music on? Because she ready. And she ready to go.
Some guys like that kind of stuff.
Actually, I bet they would. Technically, it's a
mouth
guard for your teeth. I don't know. It's gotten a lot hornier than I thought it would, if I was honest, when I was shot into Palin earlier on.
How's it descended so quickly into being so disgusting? It's almost like I've been holding back for a week. I've been on my best behaviour. The tie came off and then that was it. That was it. It's the evil. What is it like?
Can I stop for a second to do a big thank you to you?
Oh, what?
Can I?
No.
So I'm sure all of you know this. Yesterday's International Women's Day. Yes, imagine just the ladies there and all the men were like, not about fucking me, mate, though, was it? I'm not going to whoop. Well, they got their day and now it's mine again. Yesterday was International Women's Day. There we go. And every year a load of men and women tweet and go, well, when's it going to be International Men's Day? And Richard takes his whole day to reply to them with November the 19th. And also has managed... How much did you raise for Refuge, the domestic violence charity? Go on, Richard.
It was about £75,000.
£75,000 you raised yesterday for Refuge. It's a lot of goddamn cash for services that have been cut. So that is you were my little hero yesterday, Richard, as you were.
It's over. We might talk a bit sort of around that issue later, but I'm going to try and do something to push men. The thing that annoys me most about it, and it's annoyed me for a while. I've been doing it for over nine. I did it in 2012, first of all, as far as it is. It's nine times I've done it, and this time it just really struck me how babyish these guys. I mean, they ask for International Men's Day, but they're not grown up enough to celebrate for Men's Day.
Yeah.
And I'm not even into I like men being sensitive. I like men talking about what they feel, but it's that kind of this. It's so whiny and it's so pathetic. And they're coming up with new things now, like going, but International Men's Day isn't recognised by the UN. Oh yeah, that's very important to me to have the UN.
Never stopped anyone have a party.
If the UN don't say that something's a thing, then what's the fucking point? Like that guy would care. And someone came and said, and this is towards the end when I kind of slightly lost it. I like to traditionally lose it, but it's sort of mainly genuine. A guy said the difference between International Men's Day and International Women's Day, and he went to Google. And on International Women's Day, there's a Google Doodle. And on International Men's Day, there isn't one. And I went, oh, didn't you get your little doodle, mate? Did your mummy not give you a doodle? You pathetic little prick. So it would be nice. I mean, all I'd really like to have done to achieve with this, and I knew it was impossible, and that's sort of the joke, which I think a lot of people don't really get. The joke is that ultimately I've set myself an impossible task that just is self-defeating. And at the end of the day...
Well, you haven't, though, because it raises money, so it doesn't matter. So it raises such a genuine, life-changing amount of money for the charity. My favourite one yesterday that you did, though, was someone had added in Michelle Obama. And you were like, I think she's got a few more things to do than reply to you today, mate. And then you replied on her behalf, just like...
So many of them are Greta Thunberg and Beyonce. People, loads of men finding these women tweeting about it and then just getting in on it. But I think it would be nice to try and actually, because if all you really want to do is to stop men, say, you can talk about it any other day. It's just that one day. Don't talk about it on that one day. Mm. But they don't talk about it on any other day. So I'm going to try and work towards something else.
On November the 19th, you could have a party and then start like trolling the UN. Like, why don't you see us?
I could do, yeah. Why don't I go to the UN on November the 19th? Say, when are you going to
have a party outside? When will you recognise this? When will you recognise
it? Anyway, I'm very glad it's over. It was a lovely feeling to... I sent a last one where I said to the last guy, you're now in charge of this. And then he deleted his tweet. and then I just deleted on my tweet deck, I just deleted these three. I had International Men's Day, International Men's, without an apostrophe in it, International Man's. I had all the different versions of it. National Man's, and I just deleted them all, and it felt so wonderful for it to be over for me. Yeah. But if only it was so easy to get rid of sexism.
We'll leave you with that, guys. This has been the Richard Herring Podcast. Good night.
Anyway, it's quite an exciting thing in terms of your going over to... I mean, you're working a lot in the UK as well, but you're going over to America and working quite a lot. I was listening to you, I think, maybe on Scroobius Pips podcast, which you did a couple of years ago, I think. But you've got this kind of lifestyle. It may have changed now. In that time, you were saying you were going over to America and doing the auditions and doing that whole circuit and not making any money there, but making enough money here to cover it to one. I'm sure that's changed because you're now getting work over there as well. But what it's sort of interesting to... I think it's interesting when I get a guest back. So someone like Tim Minchin we had back a couple of times, but like to see his career change and then see whether he's changed. He has. He's become awful.
Yeah.
And... but it's because it's you know, it's actually that next level. So when you are working with Paul Rudd and you're a very down to earth, you know, no
I'm sort of the earth, mate.
You're no nonsense.
I'm just a humble stardust, genuinely.
I can't imagine you like changing into a different thing than you are. You know what I mean? But if you're working with Paul Rudd, you're acting alongside Paul Rudd in this great show on Netflix.
Yeah, but Paul's just like another comedy person as well.
Yeah.
I suppose that's the thing. Like, I don't think you can... If you jump too far, especially working in comedy, if you jump too far away from your own life, you end up having nothing to talk about or being weird. Like, you do always end up, like, trying to find the laugh. And that's what keeps you going, like, as something funny.
Yeah.
So Paul's the same. Like, Paul is, like, Roisin said that Roisin Conaty, who I'm assuming... Sorry, my jumper just flew in front of me and I saw it and I was like, sorry. like a cat. Getting distracted. But Roisin was saying this. I trained as an actor for years and I was an actor for years. And she was like, I'm an actor, but my people are comedians. And I think when you find your people, and I was talking with pals about this on Saturday, like when did you sort of stop being incredibly lonely? And like one of my friends had found school very hard and university very hard and maybe only later found his tribe. And to find your tribe is a lovely feeling, to feel like you're not on the outside or trying so hard with people. And I'd, you know, been in sketch comedy groups and all sorts and went to university, but still always felt like a bit too much or a bit extra. And we then went to drama school. And I remember being backstage at like theatery sort of crowds who are their own tribe. And even when I'm working with actors, I'll find the person who feels like a comedian or a comedy person, and you don't feel weird or odd. So Paul's definitely in the comedy group.
But it's still like he's, you know, he's a major star. You'll have grown up watching him, only because he's been going for about 400 years. He looks 35, but he's, you know, he's in...
No, he's 807.
When you see him, you can see him earlier and earlier. He's in... Is he in... Oh, no, he does that joke where he's in... He pretends he's in Mac and Me Too, but he's in that... He's in that...
No, sometimes I would go up to the freezer they keep him in and I'd knock politely. I'd open it up and I'd say, Paul, what's your secret?
But I suppose, I mean, it's not like you have... It's not like it's your first job and you obviously worked with lots of famous people before, but it sort of is that... Having come from Ireland,
do you know what's weird? I suppose because I'm not into Marvel movies, the Ant-Man kind of world, I suppose, shifted him into a different world. But before that, a lot of the movies he's in are an American version of like the comedy gang, in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a great sense of camaraderie with all kind of comedians, and we all kind of cross over with each other. But that just brings a whole different, like, the level of people who come up and know him. But I suppose that the type of people I work with, I suppose I become like their secretaries because a lot of them are really cool. And so I always get asked, like, can you send something to me for Paul Rudd? Can you give something to Phoebe Waller-Bridge? Can you give something to Sharon? You're like, yeah, okay, fine. They're all very cool. The cool dudes.
Yeah. But you're going, you know, you're hanging out in LA, you're going to showbiz parties.
Parties nonstop, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Do you know what it is? I'm sort of sitting, like, today... If you just see, maybe this is what I'm finding odd. Today, I got up, and because of the antibiotics for my infected gum, I've had no energy. And Tato, this is like the showbiz thing that happened to me. Tato, the Irish crisps, which I'll be honest, until I moved to England, someone said, oh, is that because of potato? And I was like, no, that's got nothing to do with it. Jesus Christ! Genuinely, it was just a brand to me. And when they're trying to, like, shift their new flavours for St. Patrick's Day, and normally I'd be like, don't send me anything. I'm not going to be one of those people. But they sent me 100 bags of crisps in a box on Friday. And they're the only thing I've eaten all weekend. And they're delicious. I've only eaten crisps all day because I just wasn't arsed because of the antibiotics cooking for myself. So I've eaten bacon and cabbage crisps all day long. Then at 12 p.m, a doctor or a dentist even, like, got in, yanked my tooth out. So I wasn't able, so I was just mushing up crisps in my mouth all day. Like, I hadn't washed my hair since Saturday. And then eventually at 6:30, I got in the shower and was like, I better get in time so I can get a selfie with Palin. I put on some makeup. I'm kind of allergic to wool, but I really like this jumper. I was concerned about how I'd look if they film it again. So I'm quite itchy. So when you're like, this showbiz lifestyle, you're like, yeah, the showbiz lifestyle. If you'd seen my day. Yeah, I suppose there is, and I had it growing up, like America feeling like this, like, oh, that's the thing. That's the,
yeah.
I suppose over the last 5 years, because of the presidency and everything, America, I felt like I got love you, more of a soother place. And you can see it backstage at gigs. I kind of started going out to America to try and get work about 6 or 7 years ago. And a lot of it, most of what I was doing was like becoming broke and gigging and being a stand up. And you could, I've just been able to really viscerally see the change backstage. Because one of my favourite things in the world is being backstage at stand-up gigs. Because, like, there's quite a nice little community with comedians. And the difference of being like, there's this guy and he's running for the Republican Party. Ah, ha, 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 ha. He's from The Apprentice. To, like, oh, my God, he's gotten through. To, he's not going to be the candidate. To, oh, my God, he's a president. And that feeling backstage has just become more angry and despondent. And Jesus Christ. And so that's maybe what America has been for me, as opposed to the sort of
being excited,
yeah. When I first started going out, I was like, oh Jesus, look at this, cool, that there's a balcony where, you know, Julia Roberts decided to stop being such a prostitute and to give him all the sex for free. Ooh, that LA showbiz story, it could be me one day. And so, no, that's not a joke because I pay them now. It's always that thing of on the outside things looking a certain way, but yeah. You know.
But it's, I think it wasn't really when I was starting out, going, the idea of going to America didn't really wasn't really a thing. Whereas it seems to be a lot of people are going out to the, you know, a lot of
it is,
comedians are going out.
Do you know what I
States?
Love about being in the States a little bit? And I already have this mentality because I'm an immigrant. And you haven't lived anywhere as an immigrant, have you?
I haven't.
And there's something about that decision and the leap to do that that gives you a little bit of ballsiness, maybe, of like, I could do it again. I did it this far.
Yeah.
And to suddenly go, oh, I'm on English television. Ah, the English. They'll put me on their telly. Then why not the next leap? And I remember there's something, I would recommend everyone to just travel or try to live somewhere else if you can, even for like 3 weeks or a month. Just because to come home, it just opens up your mind and you just travel. You can travel the world in many ways, I suppose, by just chatting to all sorts of different people.
Yeah.
But it makes you realize everyone is just, you know, Paul Rudd still needs a poo. Everyone needs, you know, like, it just makes you think, oh, no, that's why not me? And I think that's maybe where, like, I'm definitely inspired by Sharon Horgan, who I work with a lot, is that she has that element of like, well, why not us, though?
Yeah.
What makes me such a piece of shit by comparison? And so why not that? And I think sometimes it's just lifting off that hat of possibility that can open up your world. And
And you've always been a writer as well, right? You've always, it is having that. I think, like, a lot of actors don't have that.
Yeah.
So, and you've got being a comedian as well. And obviously being a comedian involves some writing, but
yes.
You've got all those different ways of going and doing stuff.
And I've been, like, so thankful for that, because I don't know if I'd have been able to survive on just the work of an actor or just the work of a stand-up for a while. So that's like, that is. But that's maybe the difficult bit of balancing it all has been a little bit of a.
And so you're doing another series. It's Sharon's Let It Slip. I'm not sure.
Oh, I know. Yeah. When does this go out?
It'll be April. So
if they don't let me say it by April, I mean, we're already trying to. I'm not already trying to write.
So your single's this way up.
Yes.
And it's sort of about.
Please watch it if you haven't watched it. It's my baby, and I put a lot of effort into it. It's still on all four.
Yeah.
To watch.
It's about someone coming through a breakdown and yes. with a.
It was based on me after doing your right. podcast and seeing myself.
Was it? Yeah. I could see all the minstrels you ate during. It was just heart. One episode was just the footage from this podcast.
That's the saddest thing I've ever seen, without any of the chat underneath.
How long? Because I'm a writer as well, and it's again, it just when you're doing all these other things, you're doing the panel shows and you're doing the acting and other things. How are you finding time to write?
It's really hard. It's the thing I hate doing the most. I think because I pickled myself in writing the show in that I write it on my own, and that's a really lonely experience. Because normally with stand-up, if you write on your own during the day, that night you come on stage and you're with someone or you're backstage or whatever, but you get to kind of show your work for the day and you get a reaction and then you're like, yay, okay, I can tell whether that's a failure or not. With the show, I was kind of writing it on and off for about 9 months on my own.
Right.
I was writing in the evening as we were filming Living With Yourself, which is the show I did with Paul Rudd. And we would do like 13-hour days on that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, well, maybe I don't feel like writing today. But suddenly it's been paid for. Scripts are being waiting for casting and for actors and for production to find sets. And it's a big girl's job. All of a sudden you're like, oh, shit, if I don't feel like writing today, someone doesn't get to do their job.
Yeah.
It's quite a large responsibility.
It is.
And a lonely one, because then we, you know, we did the table read and that went quite well. And I was like, okay. And then you film it. But everyone has to be nice to you when you're on set and go, it's a really good script. And you're like, is everyone blowing smoke up my arse? I don't know. And then until it comes out and people start watching it. So that's like a good year and a half to be constantly worried that you've made a terrible mistake, I suppose. Nish Kumar has a picture of me. Nish and Amy Annette, who's a stand-up and his girlfriend, came over for New Year's Eve to New York. And I'd spent Christmas in New York typing away because there was no time to kind of go back over Christmas. And I had to get it in before we went to see Mike Birbiglia, who's an amazing US stand-up. He's got a couple of specials on Netflix. But we wanted to see his show. And Nish has a picture of me, because the deadline was due in, of my laptop on a bollard outside the theatre with my glasses on down to my nose here, typing the final edit, making sure there were no typos. He's like, Beaver, look at this! It was a mad laugh. And he has a picture of me trying to send it in before I could go and have a bit of a laugh. So yeah, it's not that bit is the hardest bit.
I find that as well. I'm very last minute, but it was also the shame of letting everyone down.
Yes,
it's more so in a TV thing. Obviously, there's hundreds of people waiting for your script.
Shame has motivated me more than joy, which is don't get into comedy.
But it's sort of weird now, because there's because of the way people digest the entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know, you come out with a series, and it's very hard to get any kind of mass audience for it, isn't it? To break through. So even if you've got a couple of series of something, that breakthrough moment where it becomes something that everyone's talking about, everyone knows about, that's the hard thing to get to.
Yeah,
now.
And the momentum of it. And even like when I'm in other shows, I don't feel the pressure to kind of say, watch it. But literally you do start going, oh, if you want it to go again and again, people are working for you, please, please watch the show. And you just become that person.
Yeah.
But it's also so... it's quite satisfying, but the lonely bit of it is when you make something on your own is that, and I didn't make it on my own. I had loads of support. Sharon's absolutely amazing and she's great. But being the sort of face of something is that on one hand you're like, yay, but on the other hand there's not always someone to share the thing with, which can have its downfalls. Like with stand-up as well, when you're on stage on your own, you know.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I should end that with a joke so people don't get bummed
out. No, it's okay.
I'll sing. Okay. Not at all. Yeah.
It's okay. I'll ask you some stupid questions in a minute.
Ooh.
Hey, I didn't ask you what Elf in Inmates was. We didn't talk about
being Elf.
What was that?
I fucking forget.
I got it off Wikipedia. It might not be real.
It's, Inmates. No, it is.
It was a pilot.
Yes. Oh, it's called Inmates with two N's.
Yeah.
Because it was mates and it was set in an inn. And I was called Elf and I don't know why. I wasn't an elf. I was a woman. I think that was... Do you know, I don't... Interrupt me, Richard.
You've done quite a lot of polish, Sam, but you've done like...
That year, I did like... I felt like a woman on a ship. I felt like if you put me into a pilot, which is like the first test episode of a show, it definitely wouldn't go. It was bad luck. Because I did about 8 of them. And I kept on... I was like, the one common thread between all of these failed things is me. Maybe I'm the problem.
But that's what's crazy. You know, the whole thing about this is crazy. The number of scripts that get written that don't even get made.
Yeah,
the number of scripts
it's that
get a pilot, and then the pilot nothing comes with. All this stuff.
Yeah.
And there's some luck involved in whether the thing goes forward. But it's, you know, a different universe. My sitcom's all about that didn't get made. A different show's the one that came through. It's kind of just freaky.
Yeah,
it?
Well,
the
even
film
like...
Sliding Doors, it's great.
I mean, I've talked about this before, but Derry Girls, Sharon and I were working on a pilot, an episode... or a show called Delilah for 2 years. And then Channel 4 rang to say, we've got this other one set in Ireland about a group of women, so we don't really think we should have two ones set in a group of women. And I'm like, fuck, it'll never work! And that was Derry Girls, which is my favourite comedy.
Yeah.
But I was so sad because we'd worked in it for so hard. I was like, right, I'm going to go off and write something else on my own then. What about this? And they were like, yeah, that. And that was This Way Up.
Yeah.
And then Delilah, recently we turned it into a pilot and we sold it in America. So we made that in September and that didn't go. HBO Max said no to it. So now we're ferrying that around again. But like, so I think it's just maybe, I read this thing about like success, and success isn't really success. It's just like graft and the ability to go, right, let's go again.
Yeah.
But not get too knocked down by it.
It is. It's very hard. I think that is, I think you talked about this something else, but it's... Yeah, having the grit to carry on, you know. Believe me, I know about that. I managed to carry on with no successes at all.
It's
the most impressive thing ever.
I won't have you talk about yourself that way, girlfriend. I'm serious.
I wrote some new emergency questions.
Did you, Richard?
Yeah, for this.
Well, you had a great day then, didn't you?
This is my new emergency question.
Imagine it was bread. Make sure to get it.
Over the last few months, I've watched every episode of How I Met Your Mother. What is the most degrading thing you've done to yourself? For no apparent reason. I got to the point where I just had to... I'd started it.
Yeah,
Hated it from the beginning. I hated it. And maybe it's just partly because you have to find out how he met the mother. Maybe it's just that.
Yeah. But David, the mother!
It's fucking 9 series long, 22 episodes. It's like 100 and something episodes. It's the worst, generally the worst thing I've ever seen. Start to finish. Some people go, oh, the first few series are good. No, the first few series are shit. It's hollow. It looks like it's okay, but if you just tap it, it's hollow. The theme music, hollow. It's nice. It sounds like a song, but it isn't.
Yeah.
It's just you tap it. Oh, that isn't a song. Oh, these aren't characters. This isn't real. There's no jokes in this. It's awful. The main character is basically a rapist.
And, is this How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
I hope that's not how he met
her. No, it's just...
Oh,
the main character is a supposedly nice guy, but his friend is this Lothario, played by Doogie Howser, MD. It's very confusing. It's very bad, so I don't know why I did it. Have you ever got into something like that you feel you have to carry on with it?
This weekend, and I'm not sure if it's the antibiotics, I typed the word secrets into Netflix, and I got back a whole host of the secrets of Selfridges, the secrets of King Henry VIII's Hampton Court, the secrets of MI6. I bloody watched them all.
Right.
A lot of very well-known information. That's what the show should be called. MI6 is a large building in the middle of London. Ooh! Does anyone else know? How did you get this information, lads?
To be fair, if the secrets of MI6 were on YouTube or on Google, that would be quite bad.
Yeah.
You'd hope MI6 would find them.
Exactly. It sort of felt like a sort of a contradiction of terms.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe that this weekend. Yeah. I can't think before that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do loads of stuff that makes me feel terrible about myself.
I've just got that personality where I have to see something through. If I decide to do something,
to the
I have
end.
To see it through. Yeah. It was really hard.
Yeah.
And
you've been so brave, though.
I have. It's interesting because I watched Flatliners the other day.
What's that?
It's the 1990s film about people. That's
the most reaction on Mass that there's Julia been
Roberts
for anything.
Julia Roberts is in it. And she's not a prostitute. She's a medical student or something like that. And they're all trying to.
I don't know who she is, so what you just said is
Julia
mad
Roberts.
To me.
Julia Roberts.
Oh, Julia Roberts. Yeah, I heard Julie Roberts.
Okay.
And I was like, I bet you she's an old East End actress that an English
Julia
person
Roberts.
Knows.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer, yeah.
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah.
And so they kill themselves, but they deprive themselves of oxygen or whatever, clearly kill themselves to find out what happens after you die.
Oh, yeah.
In that film, Billy Baldwin had a very. Is Alex Baldwin's brother, looks very like him, had a very. Good early career.
He looks like a bad seaside sketch of Alec Baldwin. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like Alec Baldwin. Like that.
He's now, if you look at his CV, which I did after seeing him this, the first three or four films are really good. And then straight to video, kind of weird. They're just like, if you were come up with parody names for films that weren't a success, they were Billy Baldwin's in, and I've seen a couple of them. But Billy Baldwin plays a character who has filmed all of his girlfriends having sex with him, and then when he dies, they're all coming to get him there as ghosts, saying, "Why did you film me secretly?" So even in 1990, they knew that was a bad thing. In How I Met Your Mother, Doogie Howser films all his girlfriends having sex, and it's kind of a funny joke. And you think, oh, this sitcom must be from 1973 when we had no banner. It's from 2014 it finished in.
That's there six, now, yeah.
We were doing this podcast almost when... last
do you know, I had this kind of mad stage where I have a tendency to forget to leave the house sometimes. And I had a mad stage where I was convinced, not the house I live in now, the house before. I say that so the neighbour now doesn't think it's him. Oh, no, you're filming
me,
so you can see my... God damn! Then that bit was a joke. But I had this idea that the man upstairs, because I'd watched some CSI where this was possible, had drilled a hole in the ceiling that was so small, but you could put a camera on the hole and still manage to film the whole room, my bedroom.
Yeah.
And I was sort of convinced it was happening. And I sort of got into a bit of self-hate about it because I realised on one hand I was like, no, don't film me. But on the other hand, I was like, well, better put on a show for upstairs. Taking off my clothes at night. And then, like, about a couple of weeks later, he told me he was going to heaven in Soho when I met him in the street and he was gay. And I was like, there's no way he is in any way filming me through a hole in my ceiling other than to watch someone badly dance around a room. And I just realised, like, for about a week I was kind of undressing on my own to the ceiling.
Yeah.
For no... that was a...
How you managed to write a sitcom about someone having a breakdown and coming back from...
We never
knows?
Know.
Who knows?
Complete fiction, of course, Richard.
This idea.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I've got another new emergency question. This is one I asked Michael Palin last week. If you could have any author...
Oh, yes, last week.
...have any...
Stop.
If you could have any author in like audiobooks. I've got into audiobooks, and it was nice having Michael Palin read his book to me.
Yeah.
But if you could have an author from the past or before audiobooks existed, which author would you like to read their own work to you via audiobook who does not exist?
Good question.
Michael Palin chose like Cicero. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, that's such a Palin answer.
It is.
Like, that's a real Cicero. You're like, you haven't read Cicero. That's like James Joyce. No one's actually read it. It's just thick, so everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's real good, just because he got through so many pages of typing.
Yeah. Don't you dare take the piss out of my dad.
Yeah. Oh. Like Cicero, really?
Yeah.
I would like to hear...
Who do you think would be good? Because not everyone's
Jesus, read the Bible.
It'd be good because he'd go, I didn't do that. Yeah. That never happened.
Because also his English wouldn't be that good because of where he's from. So it'd be really slow. And then I took the fish. Fish and loaves. What is a loaves? Loaves. Why don't you just say bread then? Yeah, that would be my...
That question is resulting in more impressions of historical characters than I had anticipated. Let's see who comes up next week. I'm just seeing what else I've got in the back here. Who is the most famous person you've asked to dance?
Oh! Famous person you've asked to dance. Do you know what? Fine. I'm going to do a showbiz story now because you're so hell-bent on showbiz.
I am.
So this is a showbiz story and I'm so joyful about it because it was all so joyful. This Christmas, I went to Bill Murray's Christmas party. Yes. Ooh! Oh, you did a big woo for that, but not a big aw for my tooth. You're so showbizy. And it was so exactly, because I don't know if you know this about Bill Murray, but he's sort of like... notorious for being like quite artsy despite being so famous. As far as I know, he doesn't have an agent. He just ring his house phone and ask him to be in stuff and he'll go, okay, I'll be in that. And he sort of like pops up in people's selfies and turns up at house parties. Like he's just a very well known to be like a sort of gorgeous, good oddball in a way. And his house is so odd and weird and cool. I went with my friend who knows loads of people, and Paul was there as well. And on the his house looks like a sort of run down, like odd barn, in that there's kind of carnations running, like hanging from the place, and everyone looks like Bill Murray, and you realise his 9 or 10 brothers are there. My favourite thing was, you know, these things called Roombas, they're robot hoovers that just go around. Hoovering on their own. So they're just like little circular robots. And he had two of those, and there were cut out ice skating figures really badly gaffer taped them. So there was all these ice skating figures just like going wherever the Roombas went all around this dance floor at the party. And they were just badly homemade done, but it was glorious. And he was just really into the music and he was dancing away. And so I was dancing kind of near him and I was kind of like, eh. And I was a bit like a creep at a party trying to be like, just so one day maybe someone could ask me who I've danced with. And he just loves dancing and he was in great form. So I was like, And sometimes he'd acknowledge me like, you're all right, I don't know who you are. Because I wasn't really invited. I crashed his party.
Yeah.
So maybe
it was just
that.
Him and his brothers and you.
Yeah, I know. And they were like, who are you? I'm like, Mary Murray. Bill Murray. It was so
pretty good.
Glorious. Because he's one of those people who just, he was exactly how I wanted him to be. He was warm and kind and nice and odd. And the house was weird and sort of had, so that was my highlight of last year, actually.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous person you've ever been in a lift with that you didn't get into the lift with?
Oh, for creepy reasons?
That you got in a lift and they were in the lift.
Imagine, like, that's the difference between a male comedian answering and a female comedian answering. It's like, why? Oh, like a rapist. Which famous person
you got in
the
lift and
near?
Then someone else
God,
is in
so
the
many.
Lift.
Say that again.
So you've got in a lift or someone else has got, you're in a lift and someone else gets in, but you didn't get in the lift with the person, but it's a famous person.
Because I didn't want to be in the lift with
you're in a lift.
No need to shout at me, Richard. I'm your
fucking question. Sorry.
I just had to know the context.
Yeah, I'm just saying, who's the mic? I haven't got it written down. I'm just trying to remember the exact
Well, you can tell you haven't written down because you haven't thought it through properly, Richard.
Who's the most famous person you've ever been in a lift with that you didn't get in the lift with? That's not the question, but that's the...
But I just don't understand why I wouldn't get in the lift.
Because lifts... People get in the lifts when other people are in lifts.
What? This will be another clip for, like, two people having a breakdown. Is it going down and I want to go up? Is it that I'm scared of the person?
No, you've got in a lift.
I know. I got...
And then the door's open, someone else gets in, and it's someone who's famous.
Yeah.
But you didn't get in the lift with them. What? It could even be you both got in the lift, but you didn't go in together. I got in a lift with Billy Connolly, but we didn't get in the lift together. I mean, we did go in together, but
is this a riddle? Do I get something at the end?
I got in a lift and Billy Connolly was in the lift, and then we went up a floor together in the lift.
Are you going to ask me to count how many people were there by the time you got to the top? What is this? In the lift. It's the question, who's the most famous person you've ever been in a lift with?
No.
No.
Because you've probably been in a lift with Paul Rudd, and that wouldn't count because you went in with him.
Why is it so difficult? Who is the most famous person I've ever been in a lift with that I didn't get into the lift with?
Yeah. That you weren't with when you got in the lift. How is that? Does that make
sense? I've only ever been in bungalows. Now can we move on?
Oh,
I take
man.
The stairs.
Rebecca Front won't get in a lift, so it's not a good question for her. She's
scared of lifts.
Yeah, well, scared of what's that?
Who she might meet in them.
Not that. She won't get in a lift. They made that her character in The Thick of It wouldn't get in a lift as well.
Oh, really? Lift phobia?
Yeah.
Or claustrophobia?
Claustrophobia, is that it? Agoraphobia? Yeah. Francophobia?
Anglophobia?
Anglophobia.
Scared of English people?
Yeah. No one. That can be no one. Nobody could be scared. I watched your Netflix special. You've got a 15-minute Netflix special. You're part of the comedy lineup.
Yes.
Good, isn't it?
Thanks.
Watch that. It's good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks.
I mean, it's exciting, isn't it, getting a Netflix special?
Yeah, that was really cool. Because also it was, it's just that thing of feeling a little bit like, oh, God, me too. That was a version of the, like, oh, God, there, me as well from over here. But again, everyone on the lineup is people I'd gigged with, and it was like a lovely little,
right.
15 felt manageable. It felt sort of mildly humble but ambitious all at the same time, you know.
It's sort of a nice, because it's sort of like a comedy set.
Yes.
You know, that you would get. So you can make your own comedy club out of that series and watch three or four of them, and that's a comedy night.
That's a comedy night. And it also felt more manageable than, so in America, like in stand-up, you'd go to a gig, and here you'd never really see anyone do 5 minutes. People are like, oh God, maybe they had to vomit and they left. I don't know why. So a standard set would be 10 to 15 minutes, 20, 30, depending on where in the ladder you are, I suppose. But in America, everything's 5 minute spots. And I find that really, like, I don't know if you've noticed, guys, but I'm a little bit chatty. So sometimes I'm like, hi, God, I'm Aisling. And they're like, how is that 5 minutes already? And so it's time to leave. So 15 felt a bit more like a nicer stretch of time to chat for. Cool. Yeah.
And is that going to, could it lead to a now special or is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, what I think when I'd just like it to be good. And I feel like at the moment, I'm trying to gig for myself.
But you could do one of your Edinburgh shows or something like that, couldn't you?
Yeah, I could. I'd want to polish it up and do it right.
Yeah.
I think if I felt like I had a whole hour out there, like I'd want to make it good. Like I want to, and if you do too many things, something will give.
Yeah.
So something won't be as good as you can make it. So.
Does something like that, though, it's all over the world, right, presumably, that show? So when you go somewhere, do you have, like, a group of unexpected fans in that?
Sometimes randomly, but those things, it's funny, the things that might take off and the things that don't. So like that, I really thought, oh my God, well, I better enjoy my final moments walking around. No difference, really. Not many people saw it. I don't think so. It's for the things that take off and the things that don't. Like I didn't expect when I was doing Living With Yourself that would be so, I suppose, because I put so much energy into my show and it's done really well and it's done well critically and a lot of people have seen it, but it hasn't been like, you know, Derry Girls gets millions of people watching it and, you know, it's been a slog to push it and promote it because it doesn't just take off like that. And loads of comedies sort of aren't as watched as you might think they are. Mm-hmm. And with Living With Yourself, that and the Netflix special as well, I was like, oh my God, it's going to have foomph. But it doesn't really work like that. Whereas Living With Yourself was the first thing I ever felt like something shifted, like suddenly got recognised the next Monday,
right,
sort of thing, which was an odd feeling.
That's interesting. Yeah. And you were on Taskmaster. How did you do on Taskmaster?
I love
Taskmaster?
That you were. That's interesting, but I'll ask a different question because I'm bored of it now. Yes, Richard.
Taskmaster?
Yes, I was.
You didn't win a single show on Taskmaster.
No, do you know what it was?
Even David Baddiel won one of his shows, I noticed.
All right, Richard.
He was the worst contestant there's ever been on that.
Well, this has been a
I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter about not being on it. Sorry.
Has anyone seen Taskmaster? Does people watch Taskmaster? A lot of people like Taskmaster. I swear to God. So we filmed that in like isolation, like a coronavirus experiment. And actually, that'll still do well after coronavirus because everyone has to be on their own doing it.
Yeah.
You know, some of the people who'll still win from it. sorry. just had some bat soup for lunch, so I'm a bit coffee. But I, that you all film your tasks like months before you watch it back in the studio. And I swear to God, I thought, and you never know that day how you did. So they'll be like, thank you, Ashton. Goodbye. Alex will say, and then you don't know how you did. And I swear to God, I was like, I am a genius. You know, when you just know, you know, when you just bloody know. And I swear to God, there's one where, I'm not sure if you saw it, there's like the seesaw and you had to think, what'll make the seesaw even? And I thought, Alex can drive his car in and I'll get a cord. And I really felt, I was like, oh my God, there was a reason I watched so much MacGyver as a kid. And I'll tie the rope to the car. And it's a great idea if you think about it, and make sure it's even. And then I'll tie that to the car. And I just thought, Shane, you're fucking nailing it. You're brilliant. And then I went in and I was like, I could feel a sense of respect within the crew for me. They're like, this girl has got it. And then, yeah, when they watched back in the studio, the rope fell off and it immediately went boom like that. It just didn't work at all. And there were loads of moments like that I could not believe that I wasn't a genius. It was the first, I was like watching it. I was like, no, really? Yeah, it was a real shock. I'm
looks
still
like it's
it.
A fun show to be on, though, I imagine.
Yeah, it's very, all the tasks are very joyful. You can only imagine.
Yeah.
listen, Richard, you have this. I don't know what to do.
No, it's okay. I'm only joking. It's a running joke. It's a running joke.
Yeah, no, that's all.
They'll have me on. They're just biding their time.
Yeah. I mean, it's not what they told me, but
they're waiting for the stars to align. I'd be good on it. I would definitely be good on it.
Yeah, okay. You would be brilliant at it.
Let's do some more emergency questions.
You would.
So you've been filming a film that I don't know much about, but I've seen mentioned, called Love, Wedding, Repeat. What's that doing?
It is a rom-com, and I think it's out in April, maybe. Okay. It's also for Netflix, so not for the cinemas, for Netflix. It's a rom-com. Filmed it in Italy and lived in a hotel.
Recently in Italy or a while ago?
Sorry. I've got such a fever. No, just the other week. North Italy, we filmed it. it was in Rome last year and loads of good people in it. Yeah. Tim Key's in it.
Oh, yes, old Tim.
Tim Key also was on Taskmaster.
Yeah, okay.
sure, everyone's been on Taskmaster.
They'll run out of people eventually. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
They have to come to me.
Going, no. Frida Pinto's in it. From Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes.
She's so gorgeous. I just wanted to eat my dinner off her face. She's so beautiful.
My usual feeling when I see a beautiful woman. Yeah.
Can I?
I prefer food to women now, to be honest.
Yeah. I can tell from your questions this evening.
If I can just eat my dinner off something, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Some women have quite plate-like faces, though, as well, and there's
Some women generally.
Some people have, well, not women and men, some people have a sort of plate-shaped
face. So do you think you'd be more attracted to a woman with a sort of dented face? Because you'd be like, oh, I could use that for a soup.
I think I would.
Yeah, well, each to their own. Yeah. They say there's porn for everything now, Richard, and you're just proving it. Yeah. Yeah. I think that'll be out in April. That was fun, but I can't now eat pasta anymore. It's a long time to spend. They don't have any other foods. There was one. Myself and Eleanor Tomlinson became great pals. Eleanor is the flame-haired beauty from Poldark, and she's in it as well. And we just couldn't eat any more pasta. And there was one sushi restaurant, which is right beside our hotel. And we made the same joke every time we went in the door. We're like, when in Rome, and just ate sushi. But yes, that should be a bit of a jaunt. Yeah. A romp.
Rome's nice, though.
It is. I was staying in like the Oxford Circus of Rome.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. So we were in quite the like touristy bit of it all the time. And also, I think I get a bit of like Catholic triggering walking around and going, well, it was fucking us Catholics that fought in Ireland in the rain who fucking paid for the cleaning of this building. And who paid for who to hoover this? Ah, it was all our grannies putting pennies in the... I got a bit... But then also took loads of selfies, being like, oh, beautiful child. Oh my God, Sistine Chapel. Yeah, it's quite... You can't move for churches. It's sort of
no,
like,
there are a lot of churches, but I like... I'm not religious, but I...
Are you not, Richard?
Not really, but I like going around... Well, the Vatican feels a bit over the top for a Christian place.
Feels like they were trying to cover something up. Like they were trying to distract us from something else.
I like La Pietà, which is in the St. Peter's Church of Jesus, and that's what we've talked about
that before. That picture is actually Mary holding him while he's like this, and he's going, but when is it International Men's Day?
But if that leads me on to one of my other new emergency questions that you definitely haven't answered, which is if you can have one item from any museum or art gallery, you're allowed to take one home and keep it any museum or art gallery in the world. Which work of art or museum artifact? It doesn't have to be, and it doesn't even have to be valuable. It can just be a thing you like from a museum or an artwork. Which one would you keep?
I would like from the entrance to one of the big art galleries, and I'm sure it's most of them, the big box of hand sanitizer attached to the wall, because that is worth £2 million. So that's what I take. My friend Kadeef, who plays Bradley in This Way Up, my flatmate, if you can see him, was saying that his dad rang him up and said, son, you've got to invest in hand sanitizer. We're sitting on the new gold here. Can you imagine someone being like on the face of like one of those Forbes magazines, like the Bitcoin guys, with just like hand sanitizer at the back because he'd invested early. Loads of hand sanitizer.
I don't understand the toilet roll shortage.
I think the idea is that you'd wrap it all around you. Is it?
What, when to mummify yourself when you're dead? Yeah, exactly. So your corpse can be found and revived.
Actually, can I give a shout out to someone... a brand called Who Gives a Crap. And do you guys know them? They're a kind of a charity business or social enterprise who you can buy big bulk orders of toilet roll, and then they invest in areas around the world that need toilets and clean hygiene, and then they give back money to them. So if you're trying to panic buy loo roll, go to Who Gives a Crap.
Do, because I do that. You get 48 rolls in a box. I do it already, and I've got a lot of toilet paper in my house, so shouldn't have let that information out. They'll be burglars now.
That's the new telling that's someone you leave your Rolls Royce with the keys in it outside the door.
They're all wrapped up in little bits of tissue. It's nice. You probably use the tissue as toilet paper if you have to. If it gets down to it. What is it? Why are people taking toilet paper? You can just clean your bum under a
tap. But if you never panic bought anything, I think that's like a panic.
You buy food, don't buy toilet paper.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, food is a good one, actually. Yeah. Well, now that you say it, Richard, it seems completely obvious.
Well, David Medill said something about that, tweeted something about that, and I said, I wondered if it's because you can eat toilet paper. So if you can only buy one thing, it's got two purposes. You can eat it, and then it might self-wipe on the way out.
Oh, yeah. It's like get you a product that can do both.
And actually, the Who Gives a Crap stuff is made of bamboo. So it probably has some nutritional value.
Yeah, and actually...
Because pandas eat that stuff, and they look all right.
And they're doing really well
now,
aren't they?
Good.
Yeah.
That's how it started. Yeah. The pandas. There was millions of those fuckers, and they started worrying about toilet paper too much. Have we got enough toilet paper? It's more important than anything else. We're coming to the end of the podcast.
Oh, what?
Is there anything else you would like to talk about that's coming up?
I mean, there's enough going on there. You're off 8 of 10 cats now. Are you as the
Yes, I am. Yeah, Catherine's doing it now. Catherine Ryan has taken on the what's it called? A goblet.
Yeah, taking on the goblet. That's what it's called there.
She's taking on the goblet.
The Jimmy Carr goblet. It's
One thing that's coming out in April is a thing called Quiz, which is based on. Do you remember the coughing scandal? Maybe that's where coronavirus started.
Yeah.
The coughing scandal and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And so it got turned into a West End play and then got turned into a TV show. And Matthew. God, what's Matthew's surname? Matthew.
Matthew. He's from Spooks, isn't he?
Just brilliant, Matthew. Famous actor in Succession. Yeah, McFadden. McFadden. Who's so lovely and brilliant. And Shan Clifford of Fleabag played the couple. And I have to say, doing it, I'm a truther. I don't think they did it.
They did it.
I don't think they did it. No.
They did it.
Do you know what else is interesting? And I mean, this is something we've all been talking about recently, is how the press can rip people apart and make, like, for example, masks don't help you with coronavirus. After 5 minutes, your breath creates air and moisture, so it's more dangerous to wear a mask because it creates a breeding ground for bacteria. Yeah. But the image everywhere, we've all been susceptible to this idea of masks because it's branded everywhere. Like at the time, there were what, 6 newspapers in the country and they were like, guilty, 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 coughing. So we all have this memory of them being guilty. Their whole lives, even if they did it, were ripped apart. Their dog was shot. Their tires were slashed. He lost his army pension and his kids had to be taken out of school. They lost everything for, look at the crimes that people still keep their jobs with. And they lost everything. And it just didn't seem, it was a trial by media in the very early stages of that whoomph where everyone decided to have an opinion on it. So it was really interesting. Like, I think even the people involved are like, they did something, but it wasn't the coughing. And the coughing was like, lots of it was quite edited to make it look. So it's been a real interesting project to be part of. You clearly are like, well, I believe what I believe.
I interviewed them on when I did my poker chat show. It was my first chat show I did on Poker Zone. Look it up. It's not there anymore. The Poker Zone
show.
Chat.
On Poker
Zone. I did a show on Poker Zone where I interviewed people who, some professional poker players and some people who might have played poker once in their life. There was some people, there was a comedian on it was so on the circuit that I'd never heard of. But they were, I think both of them came on. I like the Lady Major.
Yeah.
She's got a striking nose on her, and I like a girl. I like a girl with something to hang on to.
Well, then watch
she's
this.
She's got a big that's not big enough
sorry
for me.
To
I'm
sorry
to give
you a horn right in front of you, but there isn't a side profile.
That's not big enough for me. It's not bad, it's on the way, but her nose,
Semi, yeah.
Her nose is incredible. Mm-hmm. But they were an odd couple.
Yes, but and that's what I think people vilified them for.
Yeah.
They weren't what we expected. They weren't answering or behaving the way we thought people should behave when they're on telly. And one of the things they said in their trial was they were being quite odd because they were trying to act like what they thought the British people want. They were passionate about the show. They watched and they're like, they were actively going, how do we win this thing? Well, clearly people who stay on longer are people who pretend they don't know the answers for a while, so it gives you more airtime.
Right.
Like, they planned it like that. And I think they were given a trial that was like, oh, we think you're odd and we just like the story, so boo.
So do you think he kept changing his answer because he was trying to add some tension to
it? Yeah, yeah. You want to make a good show, yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He goes, well, it's definitely not D. It could be C. No, it could be B.
Is it D then?
It is D, yeah.
But also, there were loads of people coughing all over. But they edited it. Richard, you're doing it the press did now. There were loads of people coughing all over the room and they just edited and highlighted her voice and ramped it up on the sound to make it sound like, oh, let's just put in clips of all of her coughing. So it was almost, I think, was almost the first version of like fake news when you cut stuff to fit your agenda rather than what might have actually happened. Some things.
Why would they do that?
Why did it? Because no one was supposed to win £1 million. That's the whole point.
They wanted people to win £1 million. Chris Tamp was dying desperate. And loads of people won it. Why didn't they get...
Look at you big armchair cynic. Die down. Because they don't die. Who are they? Who are they, Richard?
Chris Tamp wouldn't lie. He's a nice guy. He was in Tiswas. What I wanted to do, Al Murray was on once and I was his phone a friend, or he was asking me if I'd be his phone a friend. And what I
really
wanted to do, I was really desperate to get it, just so that we get in it. Hi, it's Chris Tarrant here. I was going to go, what, from Tiswas? And then if he didn't say no from who you want, I said, what are you doing now? What's going on now?
Why are you ringing me? Are you all right?
What have you been up to?
What's going on with you? How did you get my house phone number?
And then I was going to say, do you remember when you were in Lake Geneva in 1978? A small child ran towards you who was really excited to see you, and you got your whole family and jumped in the car and ran away. That was me.
Did that really happen? Yeah. Oh, you're so cute.
It might have been 1879, something like that, yeah.
Oh.
I was 28 years old, that's it, that's right. Right, look, we're going to have to wrap up.
Yeah, when the audience is funnier than the people on stage, you're like, this is the time to end, without a doubt.
Thank you for coming in with a bad tooth and stuff.
Well, no tooth.
I mean, no tooth, a big gaping hole in your mouth.
They took four out last year. Oh, yeah, and one out today.
Have you got any teeth left?
Well, I feel like I'm going to be like that lady who gave Wayne Rooney a blowy by the end of the next year, if things keep going to plan. Yeah. Well, Wayne was in nub. Wayne was in nub. Well, I've never seen him do football. Wayne was in nub.
Yeah. I hope you'll come back on in 4 years' time. We'll see how your career's going, when it's going up or down.
I'll be the person who comes on going, hi, I'm just here to bring the tea. Sorry.
I need someone to go really high and then really low so that I can then meet them in another...
Do you know when it'll be? When I'll be doing like the 19th series of Taskmaster, and I'll be like, do you know what? They just said they ran out of people, Richard. They started asking people back. How have you been anyways?
Well, I can't wait to see that coffee
major. Yeah, no, I think it'll start the discussion up again. And in fairness to the drama, it's very balanced. It doesn't come down one side or the other.
Yeah.
And Shan and Matthew are brilliant. It's like watching the...
What are you
people.
In it? Are you the cough?
yes, I'm answer one. I am the head of ITV, the show in the first place.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and I look real ugly in it. I look like I did on your last podcast. There's no makeup and it's real 90s. So lots of this sort of hair and kind of high-waisted jumpers and bad shirts and stuff like that, which is really fun to do, actually.
Cool. I can't wait. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause. Ashley B! Richard Herring,
£75,000 yesterday raised for refuge on International Women's Day. Come on.
Come on. I'll see you back there. Thank you very much. Come back next week. Fill some tickets.
Go buy his stuff. He's selling his stuff. He's got two children. Have you no hearts? Two children.
You have been listening to Rahula Stubba with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Ashlyn B. Thank you to Pest. I hope they didn't start the coronavirus. Were they the pest that began it? I hope they're all surviving it very well. They're playing this music beautifully for us. I'd like to thank everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. I hope everyone is surviving the pandemic and the closed theatre. Thank you to Martin and everyone who works there, all the crew and the bar staff. I hope to see you all again very soon. If you bought tickets to any of the shows that were cancelled, they hopefully will... We'll just redo the show so they will still be valid. I would like to thank my producer, who I'm indebted to, Ben Walker. I'd also like to thank Chris Evans, who's been a rock through these lockdown months and done fantastic work getting podcasts and all of my other rubbish to you. I'm indebted to my executive producer, Douglas Courtney. We called him Courtney Douglas on set. It was very funny. This is a Fuzz Sky Potato and GoFasterStripe.com production. Hey, I'd also like to thank Kathleen McKeegan for running a fantastic website which helps me research guests I've had on before, like Ashley, and make sure I don't ask them the same things. Rahulastupa.com, I believe it is, if you're looking for it. Anyway, let's sit back, relax. No, thank you very much for listening. Go to gofaststripe.com/badges if you want to
get lots of backstage interviews, and go to twitch.tv/RK Herring to watch all this extra content. Don't forget, if you're an Amazon Prime person, you can subscribe and give us money for free from Amazon, Ian Amazon's very, very deep pockets. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Oh, if you're not watching, you're definitely listening now. Fuck right off. Fuck you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And gofasterstripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show if you enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.